The following show contains explicit content.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus, a podcast about things and stuff.
This is weird.
Is it weird? Do you like it?
Yeah, no, you're doing fine.
Am I doing okay?
Yeah.
Am I fading enough?
Yeah, you're fine. That's
awesome.
That sounds perfect.
And then we just play it a little bit like this. All
just
right.
Like this.
So, welcome to Chatty Wumpus,
yes.
Episode, I forgot to ask Jack.
12.
Episode 12. And things are being run a little differently today.
Yes.
A little differently.
Yeah.
You got DJ Bitchface on the ones and twos playing with buttons and looking at shit. And I've got Jack to my right this time.
Yeah.
Which never happens.
I'm playing the role of the co-host tonight. I have never sat. I don't think I've ever sat in this chair with this mic going longer than like 30 seconds. I've sat here long enough to just test the microphones, make sure they work.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Nicole is sitting where I usually sit behind the board running the entire ship tonight. I am now the passenger. I am the co-host.
Let's hope I don't fuck it up.
Yeah, this
<We'll see.
laughs> in the 5 years I've been doing this shit, I've never had anyone else do this. I wanted Red to do it once and it never happened, so this is...
Do we want to divulge why this is happening now?
No.
Because we want to learn.
Yes.
And it's going to be a good time for everyone involved.
Yes.
Exactly. Especially the listeners.
Exactly. I'm glad you asked that question because the answer was no.
No. Yeah. I was vague about it. But yeah, I think it'll be great to learn, to help try to take some of the burden off of you.
Yes.
It's a great learning experience for me.
Yes, it is.
So I'd like that. And if it helps out, then it helps out. And
exactly.
It's like coverage.
Yeah. If
you want to be lazy one night...
If
I can steer the ship.
Exactly. I mean, I'll still be here. It's just I don't want to do any of the work.
Yeah. Now you just need to show me how to edit shit and we'll be all right.
That's simple.
Is that simple?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's absolutely simple. But because Nicole's running the ship tonight, you might hear less of me and more of her because it's...
How that's going to happen?
Well, I guess we could all... I was thinking we could alternate it like every week. Like, you know, if we do it this way this week, then next week it's like... how it's been for the first 11 episodes where
yep.
I'll be sitting there and it'll, you know, I'll be running the ship and then the following week you can do it. And
now with that, I think it'll be interesting because you do all the setup as mm-hmm. far as the songs that are going to play and things like that. But today I'm picking the song we're going to play.
Yes.
So I think the listeners are going to hear a different type of music because you've got what you like.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of songs to play today, and then I heard Missy Elliott's Work It, and I was like, shit. I was like, I should play hip-hop stuff.
You're welcome to, because you got to remember the shit that I play. Everyone else on the show, with the exception of Kate and sometimes you, absolutely despises it. Like, during Talk Radio Meltdown last night, we had this band Night Foxes here, and these guys are big Britpop fans. Like,
okay.
We were talking about Oasis, we were talking about the Smiths, Johnny Marr. I fucking blew them away. I dropped like the most insane bit of trivia about the Stone Roses because I knew who produced their first album, and their jaws just
you
dropped to the floor. So these people appreciate that kind of music, but then I realize now I'm sitting here and you say you're gonna play hip hop. I'm thinking to myself, oh crap, I have to endure this now. And then I think to myself, okay, well, I've been doing that to everyone else for the last 5 years.
It'll but make it a little different.
Yeah, I think to myself, I'm like, you know what? No, she's in charge tonight. She can do whatever she wants.
And I won't be playing, like, stupid... Not to say that the stuff now is stupid, but I'd probably be playing the stuff from, like, early 2000s. So Missy Elliott, some Ludacris, that kind of good stuff.
You also got to remember, too, the last pretty much... ever since we started doing this show, almost every song I've played during a break has been either Arctic Monkeys or Gaslight Anthem or something that you're familiar with. Something that we both like. Actually,
I appreciate.
One thing I failed to tell you, Nicole, actually, if you want to bring up the show prep that we have for this.
Yeah, I'm trying to now.
Bring up a new tab and you should see a delicious bookmark up there on the bookmarks bar.
Oh.
You'd have to kill the, you know, the address bar in the search field there. Should say.
Okay. What are we doing? Okay. Oh, I gotcha.
You got
I gotcha.
It.
Yep.
Sweet. There
you
go.
See what you're talking about. All right.
See, you pick up on it easily.
If
you're
learning.
If you were red, you'd be like,
what is going on?
Oh, my.
I thought it was going to be red.
Yeah. Remember, too, if you want to play that stuff, you can crank the.
Oh, yeah, because it's from the. It sounded like someone was creepy.
Nicole's learning how to run the board, too, so she's learning what all the channels on the board do. Yeah, okay, that was better.
Was that good?
That was a little more audible than the last one. Yeah.
Shut up. And now I'm playing with the fading shit. Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to Chatty Wampus, just remember this is like the first 10 minutes are going to be a training session.
Yeah.
But she's picking up quickly on it, so it'll be.
I'm trying.
It's like you're flying a ship for the first time.
We're dead.
Yeah.
We're all dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back and we're better than ever because I'm steering.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay. Alrighty. So you like science-y shit.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You know, well, I'm trying to find the fucking link that I read yesterday. So, have you heard of the most popular theory as to how the moon was created?
Aside from it possibly being created in, like, the back lot of a Warner Brothers studio.
That is a common theory.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people that falls for that, though. I don't think. I see all those people that come out there and they're all like, oh, the moon landing was staged. No, it wasn't. No, if you want to give science any credit, at least believe that we actually put someone on the moon.
Or do your research. It's been proven time and time again.
Yeah.
But people got video footage and they're still not happy. But I digress. So one of the most popular theories as to how the moon was created was way back when the Earth was still a bunch of just like lava, right. Lava rock. There was another planet, possibly the size of Mars, that collided with the Earth. Caused some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Some magma flew off into the space, became the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we and this other planet that was dissolved in the impact created the moon. That was a theory. As of yesterday, in an article I read from BBC.com, which I love.
Okay.
I love BBC.
Yeah.
They always give us good shit.
Of course.
They found. That the planet that hit us was called Theia.
Okay.
Named after a Greek goddess in mythology who was supposed to be the mother of the moon, so makes sense. But the lunar rock that was brought back by Apollo astronauts shows traces of the quote unquote planet called Theia. So they analyzed these rocks and found that they didn't quite match the Earth.
Yeah.
Which means that they were made from something else. Which Ooh. Proves the common theory, the accepted theory since the 1980s, that shit happened. Of course, more tests need to be run.
Yeah, of course.
As they always do. The sampling was very small of, excuse me, I'm gonna burp. I know you don't like that, but I'm drinking beer. They need to do some more analysis. The best part of this article that I read, and I want to hear what comes to mind immediately when I read this.
Okay.
It's a reference.
Okay.
Here's a quote from some fucking dude, a professor or whatever.
Professor Ernest Quincy Worth Corning Hollow.
Professor Rob DeMiger.
Okay, that's nowhere close to what I was
of
thinking.
Of Groningen University in the Netherlands.
Of course it's in the Netherlands. He's a Dutch.
Of course he is. He says that we don't know how the moon was formed. We need manned missions to the moon and a search for rocks deeper under the lunar surface that have not been polluted by meteorite impacts. What does that make you think of when you hear that? We need manned missions to the moon and search for rocks deeper under the surface.
Armageddon.
Yes. And that's the first thing that came to mind. I was like, oh my God, we need to send Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck up into space and pray that Ben comes back.
You don't want to close your eyes.
I don't want to miss a thing.
That movie was terrible, by the way. I hate that movie.
All I can think about is Ben Affleck's teeth, because I think that was recently after he got his teeth done.
Yeah.
Now we accept them as common, but those teeth were a big improvement.
Hey, remember, Batman saved the world. Just think about that.
He did. Yeah. And came back
to be Batman.
To be with Liv Tyler.
Yeah. And later Batman.
And later Batman to continue saving Gotham.
I'm one of those people that's, I need to see how he does it. You know, there was that big backlash when they announced that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman.
I think he'll do a good job.
I
like him.
I want to say, and I want to think it's going to be like how when they announced Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, and there was just this insane amount of scrutiny, and Heath Ledger ended up not only knocking it out of the park, but then dying mostly because of it. So, I mean, hopefully Ben Affleck doesn't die, but at
we
the same
hope,
time,
yeah.
Yeah, at the same time, I hope he's good at it, but yeah. Completely off subject.
Well, but
about.
I mean, but you do make a good point because Heath Ledger was amazing. When you think of the role of the Joker, you cannot think about it without Heath.
Yeah.
Without thinking of him, without thinking of what he did with that role.
There's the old school thought of people who, like the older Batman movies, and there's Jack Nicholson played the Joker.
He did well, too.
And he's a psychopath.
But it was different.
You know, yeah, you're right. It is exactly different. It's, I mean, you expect after like The Shining in those movies, you expect to see someone like Jack Nicholson playing that role. But then
it's the eyebrows,
but like Brokeback Mountain and Knight's Tale, and then Batman, or rather The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Completely
10 things
different
I hate about
movies.
You.
Yeah, completely different set of movies.
Just goes to show the range that he had.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain, as much shit as it gets for, it was a gay movie. It was a great movie. That movie, like, hurt my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't have a heart, so.
No, you don't.
Testament to the acting. Exactly. It hurt my non-existent heart.
Now, just think about with the moon and everything. Is there any, like, and I might have completely missed this if you'd mentioned it, but is there any, like, evidence of, like, alien life and that stuff? Are they trying to see if there's any sort of extraterrestrial life up there?
Basically, the way they analyzed it was by finding, and I'm not like a super scientist, but what they did was they looked at levels of oxygen in these. And so like the Earth has a fingerprint, if you will, of levels of components within it, of oxygen, of this, of that. So the way they were able to differentiate between, okay, this is not part of Earth, this is part of Earth, is by that fingerprint.
Yeah.
Of what the components are. So they didn't actually try to look for any of that. Although I read another article, which I can't actually think of off the top of my head to find. But some people think that we are pretty close to being able to find, maybe not intelligent, but other life forms out there relatively soon. Within the next 20 years, it's been speculated.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about it. We've already found water places. And as far as we know, water is the building block of life.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding planets that are the same size as Earth, very similar to the distance that we are from our sun. You know, those are the perfect conditions for what we know as life. We're finding these places.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time, in my opinion.
Right.
But,
thank you for not mentioning God in any of those statements.
Well, God will help us find aliens. I don't know.
I'm going to throw a bottle at you.
No. You know how I feel about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I mean, you got to remember, too. I mean, we've gotten as far as Mars in terms of actually being able to land on faraway planets.
But
and
think
explore.
About how huge even that was. That thing is still fucking going, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's still chilling.
Yeah.
In Mars. You know, and the
I think
pictures,
it fell over a couple times, but
it happens. Yeah. You know, it's in Mars and it's doing shit.
What sucks is when those things fall over, it's not exactly easy to get someone to come up and fix it, too.
That's a good point. And that thing's, what, like 6 feet tall?
Yeah.
It's big. We think of it as little.
Yeah.
It's not very little.
Exactly.
But it's so cool. I love looking at the pictures that comes up with because it really just looks like the desert.
It does.
That's all it looks like.
Yeah.
And like, are you in like Arizona or something? Where are you?
It's like a really fucked up version of Arizona.
A really scary, like post-apocalyptic version of Arizona.
Did you ever see Prometheus?
No, I haven't.
You should, because it's really, I mean, it's an Alien prequel. Like, it sets up the whole Alien franchise. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's all about also, you know, finding life on other planets. I know I just said, you know, I'm glad I didn't bring God up, but it also has to do with mythology and things like that. But it's like, it's what we're talking about right now. Like, Prometheus tried to accomplish that as a movie, and unfortunately, the story was a little wacky. It was just all over the place.
Well, I've heard mixed reviews, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've heard people who rave about it, love it. I figure I'll give it a shot. I just haven't gotten around to.
If you've seen all the Alien movies, then you'll appreciate how they set the story up, but at the same time you'll be confused as to everything else that's going on. You're like,
does it help explain? Does it help give you the backstory?
Oh yeah. No, it totally takes place on the same alien planet from the first Alien movie from the 70s.
Okay.
So it sets, but it's like, I think it's hundreds of years in the past. I think it's going way back in the
past. Okay.
But if you're a fan of that franchise, then it sets that story up perfectly. If you don't care about that franchise, then as a standalone movie, it's good. But I remember all these people, because I got to see a press screening of it months before it came out, which is awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So when the movie finally came out, all these people were coming up to me and asking me questions about all these things that they expected me to know because I'd already seen the movie. And I'm like, okay, I need to go see this movie again because I'm confused as all fuck and I can't answer any of your questions.
Was there a lot of content?
Yeah.
And
I took my dad, because he loves the Alien movies. I took him to go see Prometheus after it came out in the theaters, and he really liked it, but he was confused. And I'm like, you know, it's the second time I've seen it. I'm still a little lost about some concepts, but that's also just me. You know, it's probably people out there saw it the first try, but
I don't know. I think with those content rich movies, you need a couple watches to catch everything, because as much as you try to pay attention, things are going to slip by.
It's very difficult to do a movie where you're, because Ridley Scott was the director of the original Alien movie.
Yeah.
And he directed Prometheus. That was one big thing about it. I think he also wrote, I don't think he wrote the entirety of Alien, but I think he had a big hand with Prometheus. And his whole thing was he wanted to do a movie that was like 50% prequel to a established franchise, but also a movie that could stand on its own. And that's very difficult to do.
That is difficult to be able to touch on both and not confuse everyone.
It's an either or situation. And he tried to do both. I mean, he did it. I think he did better than anyone else, but it's still a little, it's all over the place. The easiest way to describe that movie is all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah. Still a good movie.
But
though.
Decent.
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I walked out of the theater very satisfied. I was just scratching my head at the same time.
Yeah. That happens sometimes after movies though.
But that's the you know, Hollywood version of what you were just talking about, though, you know, trying to, you know, figure out how all these things were created, you know, because that movie is that big thing about movies. Just that movie is like the creation of man and creation of humanity and mankind, all that shit.
Oh, okay.
And so you're talking about how the moon was formed, and my first thought is everything that happened in Prometheus.
Everything that happened
all
in
you
Prometheus.
Said is like, this is how the moon was formed, and like in my head I just see the opening credits of Prometheus. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm on the same page.
I got this. Have you seen
I might not be in the same book, but I'm on the same page.
I'm in a cookbook and you're in the
Lord of the Rings.
Very different things going on.
Yep.
But for the most part, Second Breakfast.
Yeah.
I think that's the page we're on, is Second Breakfast.
Excellent.
Thank you. So now I'm looking at some of the show prep that you had for the other show.
Yeah,
did you talk about the Frozen one?
I don't even remember what that was. What's
Divorce?
No, we didn't.
I'm just reading this now, and I think it's really funny. This comes from Mike P. Williams at UK Movies Yahoo. The title is Woman Asks Husband for Divorce Because He Doesn't Like Frozen.
Have you seen that movie?
I haven't, and I never will, because everyone went fucking crazy about it. Red, of all people, Red was huge
he
about
was.
This fucking movie.
He really
I'm like,
was.
How?
Yeah.
I don't I don't know.
It is. I think it's considered the most successful animated movie of all time. I think it beat out...
It looks great.
I think it beat out everything we grew up with. I think it actually crushed records.
Well, that's because fucking adults like it too for some reason. I have no idea why.
And of course, the wickedly talented Adele Nazim or whatever.
Who the hell is that?
Idina Menzel.
Who is that?
She wrote that Let It Go song that's in that movie. That song.
I've never heard that.
I had a practice session with the singer from my band last week.
Oh, no way.
It's first. I haven't played music with him in years. I'm not kidding, years. But we got together with this other dude, and they both have kids. Okay.
Jamie's got a
2-year-old daughter, and this guy Dan, his kid is I think 3. So of course they love Frozen. And we ended up doing like a metal cover of this Let It Go song, and I think that's the first time I've ever heard that song start to finish. And then I was at Fire and Ice down in Providence with Kate the other day, and they were playing that song over their radio, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, is that what this fucking song is?
Did it sound better with the way you guys covered it?
Or? I don't know. I feel like I need to see this movie mostly just to appreciate it and get, you know, what everyone else is talking about, but mostly so I can understand what the context of the song is, because Disney movies or kids movies, whatever, I guess it is a Disney movie. Those songs always have a context. It's not just like every other movie where it's like, oh, we just got, it's City of Angels and we just got the Goo Goo Dolls to write the soundtrack to it.
Yeah.
And it's you know, they wrote a song that all we told them was the movie's about angels and humanity. So they're writing a song about that.
With about Disney angels movies, and humanity.
With Disney movies, it's an actual musical number that ends up becoming a song of its own. Like, think of like The Lion King and all that. That became a big song. That was, Just Can't Wait to Be King was its big thing.
Wow.
And
now,
you know, it stands on its own as its own song, but it's actually connected to the movie, and that's how it is with those kids movies. So I feel like I need to see this movie to understand what the fuck.
What about the
that's more of a parody now, if anything.
I looked up the lyrics to that song, and that song is in another language.
Oh, I thought it was gibberish.
No, they're putting consonants together that I looked at the lyrics and I listened to the music at the same time. Still can't make those noises.
I thought it was like,
no idea.
I thought it was like someone went into like the emergency room of a hospital after a 10 car pileup on the highway and recorded the audio and sounds of all of the screaming and agony going on, and then auto-tuned it. Reversed it and then auto-tuned it and played it. And all these kids are just like, I love that song.
That might have been what happened. No,
that was an extremely elaborate and crushing explanation.
It's a little weird. I like to think of, it's like, I guess the lyrics mean like, here come the king, here comes awesomeness.
Doesn't that play during the scene? Doesn't that play when they're doing the thing with little Simba and they're holding him over the pride block and everything?
Yeah, and they're showing him to the animals. Yeah. I think that's, and Rafiki does it. Yeah. He holds a baby above a cliff, and the parents are okay with it.
I've only seen The Lion King twice.
What? Wasn't that the most successful movie?
Yes. I think actually Frozen beat it.
Lion King?
Yeah.
That is huge, because that movie, since then, when did that movie come out? Like
94.
94, 20
years ago.
That was the most successful movie for 20 years.
I remember watching it with my cousin in 1995. I remember the exact year, because I've only met her 4 times.
And one of the times you watched Lion King.
Yeah, so I remember the exact years I've met her, because she's on your side of the country. So one of those years is right after Lion King came out on VHS, so we were watching it. And then the second time I saw it was 2 years ago, when they re-released it in 3D in theaters.
Did they release that in 3D?
Yep.
Oh, that stampede scene must have been awful. Must have been terrifying. In 3D? That shit was scary just watching it regularly. Then again, I was a kid.
There's this fucking craze now, and I'm glad that they're kind of starting to go a little bit back on it, where everything needs to be in 3D, okay?
Yeah.
Now, they did this with Jurassic Park, and it was a terrible idea, and they did it with The Lion King, and it was an equally terrible idea. They're taking something that was not 3D to begin with and made it into 3D, and okay, it works maybe about 20% of the time. The rest of it, you basically just pay. It's a cash grab, because the 3D movies are more expensive. So you basically just paid like $40 to go see a movie that they like really didn't put any effort into making 3D.
Yeah, movies are overpriced as it is. I'm not going to... And it makes me dizzy. The 3D shit, the IMAX stuff, mm-hmm. makes me so dizzy.
Yeah.
I can't go.
Yeah.
As much as I'd like to. I love going to those IMAX movies, but they always have those shots where you're in like a helicopter going above the ground, and that shit makes me dizzy, makes me want to vomit.
Speaking of, you have a 3DS, right?
Nintendo I do. 3DS. I don't turn the 3D on.
I just got one the other day.
It makes
and
me nauseous.
I've been trying to adjust myself to getting used to the 3D on it.
It hurts.
Yeah, my eyes were fucked. I brought it to work with me today. I was playing it on my lunch break, and I like played it for about half an hour. I then looked up, and I was fucked up afterwards. That shit. You're right. It hurts. It fucks with you. I mean, maybe you gotta get used to it, but there's, you know, it's.
I don't know, because it hurts my eyes for focusing, because I do have contacts, and my contacts are for distance.
Yep.
So when I try to read stuff up close, I should be wearing reading glasses, but I don't, because my eyes have a hard time focusing on stuff that's close to me.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, but like my stomach, I'll literally get nauseous from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. I like I said, I'm trying to get used to it. And I was looking up just like information about the 3DS because I never planned on getting one. I wanted to get the new one, the 2DS, which it's like it's a cheaper version of the 3DS.
Yeah.
Plays all 3DS games, no 3D though. Then I was looking up the information about it, and I guess there's an actual like label on it that says not intended for children under 6.
Really?
So Nintendo, the family-friendly, kid-oriented company, is their major product right now, their best-selling product. They can't even really market it to their core audience.
That doesn't sound very wise Nintendo's part.
That's why the 2DS came out, because they wanted their younger audience to actually be able to enjoy those games without risking the eye problems. Because, you know, a kid, you know, they could say, well, the kid could just turn the 3D down, because you can do that. But at the same time, the kids could be like, oh, this is awesome. They'll turn it up and fuck themselves.
What 5-year-old is going to be like, oh, no, I'm not going to go all the way.
Yeah.
Whenever it's a 5-year-old, they're all the way, all the time.
Exactly.
At least that's the 5-year-old I know.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah.
I'm talking shit.
I'm going to get another beer.
Are you going to get another beer? Yeah. Is it time for a break? We're at 27 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
That's good?
Yeah.
Alrighty, so let's talk some shit while I figure out what I'm doing.
This is
I'm just going to need a moment.
Now, where I'm sitting, and please use my rambling as your way of getting everything set up.
Yeah.
Now, from where I'm sitting, I can see the monitor, but I can only see, like, a little bit of it. So I can see the audio going, which is fine. That's exactly what's supposed to be happening. But at the same time, like, I'm just, like, I don't want to look at it because I'm, like, I'm not in charge tonight. I'm being the parent that's being... I'm my friend Jen right now. I saw my friend Jen. I haven't seen her in years. Saw her for the first time in years last weekend at Boston Calling.
Yeah.
And she has a kid. She has an infant.
Yeah.
And this was her first full day away from her kid since he was born.
Oh,
and
God.
she was in new mother mode. She's like, is he okay? That's all she would talk about was the kid. She's like, I mean, I'm fine. I have no problem with that. I pointed out to her. I'm like, you're doing the thing. You haven't been away from your kid. So you know he's in good hands, but you're worried about him.
You're worried for no reason.
So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm like, is everything good? Like, I'm just, I feel like I'm like...
Well, the good thing is that we're not live.
Exactly.
In case no one knows, 28 and a half minutes in, we're not live.
Well, here's a question. What are we doing for music?
What are we doing for music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I'm not playing the break. I'm playing the music first. All right. I got it. I see what's going on.
Yeah.
Forgive me, audience. I'm learning. Hopefully, I will get better. But we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back with some more good shit. You ready to go? Get that beer?
Yes.
Sounds good. All right.
Get it in your nightdress. Discarded all the naughtiness for niceness. Landed in a very common crisis. Everything's in order in a black hole. Nothing seems as pretty as the past slow. Bloody Mary's acting as a Tabasco. Remember when he used to be a rascal? All the boys are slow. The best best you ever had. The best you ever had is just the memory and those dreams. Flicking through a little book of sex tips. Remember when the boys were all electric? What she tells, she's gonna get it. I'm guessing that she'd rather just forget it. Clinging to not getting sentimental. Said she wasn't gonna, but she went still. Likes a gentleman, so not be gentle. Is it a mecha double or a betting pencil? Oh, the boys are sad. The best you ever had. The best you ever had was just a memory and those dreams. Not as soft as they seem. Not as soft as they seem.
To fellow poets, then.
Yeah.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Featuring Jack Gill and Nicole Mossy.
Are you a fan of the Talk Radio Meltdown page on Facebook?
No.
God damn it. Never mind. Never mind.
Oh my God, fine. Fucking tell me about your stupid page.
Never mind.
God damn it.
The Talk Radio Meltdown page on Facebook has all of the important stuff that you need to know about the show, including updates about new episodes, as well as show prep, photos, videos, and other good shit. It's just stuff from Reddit and BuzzFeed.
Yay, repost! OP's a faggot.
Facebook.com/Talk Radio Meltdown. Become a fan, or like it, or whatever the proper terminology is these days.
Facebook.com/Talk Radio Meltdown.
Yeah, you can't sell Betsy's milk. No what? Absolutely no.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You can't sell that milk.
Why is that? Like, I can not sell it.
I got pain. It's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'm going to smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
In 2002, two guys who drink all night and listen to Pantera met, and history was made.
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Two guys, they're drinking buddies at their favorite bar with plenty of alcohol.
Coming from you, recorded live at the Halfpenny Pub of Stayville.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, rock and roll and alcohol. MoreLikeRadio.com, Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
ElvisandAlfred.com, 24/7.
Yarr!
MoreLikeRadio.com, where the talk just keeps on coming.
Chatty Wampus. Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. So, I just whistled. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was weird.
So last night, I met some very lovely gentlemen.
Yeah.
And they were excited to hear what I was going to play, because we told them that I was going to be doing the board tonight.
Yeah.
And they knew I like Arctic Monkeys. So they said, oh, hey, you're gonna play some Arctic Monkeys. So I thought all day about a song I was going to play. And instead, I played an Arctic Monkeys cover song by Kate Nash.
Which was really cool.
It was interesting.
Yeah, it was...
yeah, deal with it. That's Kate Nash.
She does a good job of staying true to the original song, but she puts her own twist to it, which is nice. I do like when bands will do covers like that, and they put their own spin on it.
They don't try to match it exactly.
Yeah. It's always weird when you see, if I'm thinking this correctly, then this will be a good example. When Hendrix did the Bob Dylan cover.
I'm not familiar with that.
All Along the Watchtower is not an original song of his. It's a cover. And I think they are two completely different songs. However, Hendrix version is the one that became popular. It's one of those cases.
Interesting.
It's one of those cases. Just like everyone, you hear Jimi Hendrix, you think to yourself, I'm like, oh, All Along the Watchtower. It's like, yeah, that's not his song.
It's not his.
Yeah. Another good example is Rage Against the Machine's last album was a covers album, and all those songs.
Really?
I mean, think of Rage Against the Machine, and then think of like all the songs they could be covering, you know?
And now I'm thinking of that Newfound Glory one album where they did all those covers, and I end up liking a lot of those songs better than the originals, like Kiss Me by Newfound Glory, although I shouldn't be plugging them because of that guy, but everyone else in the band,
they're fine because they're still together, and they're not
that guy played that song.
They kicked him out though.
Good.
They kicked him out.
Yeah.
They kicked him out before those allegations were made public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they found
out. Fuck up. What a fuck.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Yeah, let's not talk about that. But yeah, that album, I really like a lot of those covers. King of Wishful Thinking.
Yeah.
I heard that song a million times at Stop and Shop, and I hated it. But they did a great job.
Is Newfound Glory, did they do... We might be talking about the same thing, but it was a covers album, but it's from like soundtracks.
I think so. What's the album? It's like From the
Screen to Your Stereo, I think.
I think that's it.
That might be
it. You gotta look it up, because if that's what it is, I'm gonna be so proud of you. I mean, I'm not surprised, obviously, because it's a music reference.
From the Screen to Your Stereo.
See, together, we can get an album name. We can get that shit together.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're not a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Or
you're not a fan at all?
No, actually, you could not be more incorrect.
Are you a fan?
I just finished season one.
You watched it? What?
Now, the show started in 2011, so I'm just going to fucking say it. Ned!
Don't worry, we're all still upset about it.
I know, and obviously there's more to come, but I'm planning on binge-watching season two this weekend.
Oh my god.
While I still have some free time at work.
Can we talk about how hot Emilia Clarke is as Daenerys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her first scene on the show, she was fucking ass naked.
She's supposed to be 13.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna plant something in your mind, and I don't know if you're gonna look at it from now on when you watch the show, but this is all I can think of.
Okay.
Emilia Clarke is naturally a brunette. Daenerys Stormborn is a blonde. But for some reason, even though her hair is amazing in the show, they can never get her eyebrows right. And in one scene, they'll be like super dark. In one scene, they'll be blonde. Her eyebrows are forever changing colors.
Yeah.
Think about that. Tell me if you notice it from now on, because I cannot look away from her goddamn eyebrows. I love her. She's got great, impressive brows, but they're changing color all the time.
Okay. You know what you just did?
I don't know how to handle it.
You know what you just did?
What?
You've been around me when I've done this before. I've pointed out flaws, and I know Kate has been around for this. I've pointed out flaws in, like, you're listening to the radio or listening to songs because of the audiophile, the uneducated audiophile in me. I do this with Kate all the time, especially when I worked at AAF and we'd be listening to AAF, okay? If I heard some little error, some little flaw that only I would notice. I would point it out.
Call it
okay.
out. Yeah.
What you just did is because you are you know everything nerds know about makeup and all that stuff.
I dabble.
Nobody. I would have never noticed that because I don't care about like eyebrows or anything. But I know you do, and because you caught that, now I'm going to look at it every single time.
And that's all you're gonna notice. You're gonna be like, and in one episode, like even in different scenes or even different shots within the same scene, her eyebrows are changing color, and I'm like, how do you miss that?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if they're varying from, like, oh, this shade of blonde to this shade. Oh, you tried, you know? It's not easy to cover up eyebrows. I get that. But they blatantly do not give a fuck about her eyebrows. And it kills me every time. But no, that show's awesome. So, yeah, so that show's built off of, or based off of, a series of books.
Right. And you know the bit of trivia about Skyrim, about in Game of Thrones, right?
No.
Skyrim was supposed to be a entire RPG, open world RPG, based off of Game of Thrones. That's why they look so similar. And a deal fell through, so it got converted into an Elder Scrolls game. And Skyrim was built to basically look like Winterfell. Is that what it's called? Is Winterfell like the name of that entire region? What's the entire region called?
Well, there are two continents.
Okay.
So like Daenerys is fucking around in the eastern continent, which is much bigger. It's got like desert, but where most of the action is happening is in Westeros.
Okay.
I believe that's what the continent is called.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm a piece of shit because
I'm a piece of shit. Continue.
Because Daenerys's whole story, her whole arc is the thing I love about that show.
Like, she's what I loved initially. Too.
Yeah, it's like the everything else that's going on. It's okay, I'm into it, but I am more excited to see what's going to happen with Daenerys and because I've only seen season one, like Khal Drogor and all that shit and her baby and that fucking witch.
Oh, so that already happened?
Yes. Oh, I finished. Yeah,
I forget what happened. So are they still together?
Things got set on fire.
And okay.
Yeah.
So things got set on fire. How heartbreaking is that? My sun and stars, the moon of my life.
That you know what that was? That was the moment where you just saw everything just snap with her.
See,
with the show now, it was like the season one. I was like, I bought it for $40 on Vudu. Okay, because the first episode was free.
You have it all.
I only have season one.
Okay, but we're gonna end up rewatching that.
Okay.
You realize this, right?
Okay.
Okay.
So season or episode one was free, so I watched it.
Okay.
And I'm like, episode one I fucking loved. And I'm like, okay,
they get you from the get go.
Yeah, so I buy the whole season on Vudu. And if you never used Vudu before, it's really nice because it's you can use ultraviolet. That's like the new like digital format and everything.
Okay.
But it's nice because they have like every season of every TV show ever made. They've got every like movie. They got movies that like they release on Vudu before the actual physical DVDs get released.
Oh,
the
holy
only,
shit.
The only thing is it's overpriced as fuck. So it's like $40 for 10 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
9 episodes, technically. So I buy season one. Now I'm struggling to watch episodes 2 through 8 because I'm just like, aside from the Golden Crown episode with Daenerys' brother, I'm just
Crown
like
Fall King.
Yes.
Yes.
But for the rest of the series, I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of bored. Like Tyrion's whole thing is interesting. I'm really interested in what's going on with Daenerys and Khal, but everything else is like I almost felt like I had to really sit down and say to myself, I need to watch an episode of this. And to be honest with you, the last couple episodes I was watching, I would be with Jackie and she looked at me, she goes, where are you on Game of Thrones? I'm like, I am where we were the last time we watched it. So that's how I was getting caught up. And then we watched the episode with Ned, which I think is episode 9 of season one. And that's when I was like, I had to leave right afterwards. I'm like, fuck, I want to watch the last one now. So I came home and I watched it, and now I'm into, like, I need to just watch season two. And because I realized it's only 10 episodes and not the, you know, usual 23 that I'm used to for every other show out there with every other season, I'm going to watch it now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to watch it. I think I can probably binge watch an entire season in 2 days.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. I love it. There's so much content, and you're going to forget people. But I love it. I mean, Daenerys is still my favorite. She started off being my favorite. She's still my favorite.
Yeah.
I love the scene where she's eating the horse heart. That was actually made out of, like, gelatin. Like, it was a gummy consistency, and it tasted awful. So she was actually gagging.
See, I can't... You know who I can't watch a show with?
What?
Kate.
Why?
Because she's so pro-animal. She wouldn't be able to make it past the first episode with the wolves getting killed.
That sucked. I mean,
it was very painful just to hear that horse getting slaughtered. I mean, she'd probably be sitting there in tears.
What about all the raping, though? Because originally, Drogo rapes Khaleesi.
She's
fine.
That's the thing. She don't care about humans. When it comes to animals, it's, you know, it's a completely different story.
Can we talk about how I think it's weird that she was upset about that whole scene? He buys her a beautiful horse.
Yeah.
Brings her to a beautiful cliff, great scenery, beautiful sunset. He already bought her. She knows she's been sold, and she cries when he tries to have sex with her. He bought you a gorgeous horse, showed you a sunset, and now you're sad?
Well, you said she's supposed to be 13 years old, right? I mean, you're 13.
If your age is not on the clock, you're old enough for the cock.
I think she's probably just thinking, you know, hey, this is not how I wanted my first time to be. I wanted to actually be with someone that I love, not someone who just bought me.
She learns to love him.
Yeah, she does. You're right. She learns to love him.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Wow. You're right. Good call there. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the whole reason we got into Game of Thrones, and we're going to... Chatty Wumpus is probably going to be Game of Thrones cast for a little bit now.
Remember, I haven't seen anything past season one, okay?
Yeah, so that's why you're leading the discussion.
I know something happened with someone called the Mountain and some dude called the Viper. Something happened with this most recent episode,
yep.
And I heard it was absolutely epic, and I'm being told that I need to fucking watch the next 30 episodes so I can get caught up to this. But I know there's a wedding. There's two weddings, actually, that go south.
Weddings.
I know of the people who die, but at this point, it's like, don't talk about anything else because I want to see how it happens, the events that lead up to it. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like...
There's a lot of buildup.
Like, I remember reading the day after the Red Wedding thing happened and everyone was fucking talking about it.
Everyone.
I read a whole thing on BuzzFeed that was like a scene-for-scene summary of it. And of course, I never watched a single episode of this. So I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. I don't care. And what's great is I've completely forgotten all of it.
That's awesome.
So it's
going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Have you met Littlefinger yet?
No.
He's actually my favorite now. A guy named Littlefinger. That's his nickname is Littlefinger. His real name is Peter Baelish. He's amazing. You're going to love him.
I like Hodor.
Hodor is amazing.
Last time I saw Hodor, he was naked.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got equipment. But the reason I bring up Game of Thrones is because on businessinsider.com, I'm reading an article right now by Karen Levy. I'm going to burp again because I'm drinking beer.
Oh, just do it, man.
That was weak. I apologize. Anyway, title is, for 20 grand, you could get violently killed in an upcoming Game of Thrones book. Now, that title is misleading because the series of books is actually A Song of Ice and Fire. Game of Thrones was the first book, but that's a more epic title than A Song of Ice and Fire, but... I digress. So basically, the writer of this show, George R.R. Martin, he's doing some crowdfunding for a wild spirit wolf sanctuary and the Food Depot, which are Santa Fe based organizations. So he's getting some money together for charity. So it's for a good cause, and you can donate whatever you want. There's 60 days left, but if you donate 20 grand, you have the chance of having a character named after you. And you could choose, like, what your character is, if they're a whore, if they're a this, if they're a that.
That's awesome.
But the best of all is your character will certainly meet a grisly death.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's the other thing about this show is that, like, I tell myself...
He's murder happy.
Okay.
Don't get attached.
I've been telling myself, don't get attached to anyone and just expect everyone to die. And unfortunately, I have developed an affinity for one character... And that would be Jorah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Jorah. And I think it's because he reminds me of, and this would be a reason that only I would come up with. I don't know if you're familiar with this band, The National.
No.
He looks just like Matt Berenger from The National.
So that's why you like him.
He looks and he sounds just like him. So like I see him, I'm like, oh, nice, the guy from The National. No, it's just Jorah. So yeah, that's why I like Jorah.
Are you convinced he's a good guy? I mean, no one's really a good guy.
Well, I mean, I remember I'm only one season into it.
I know, and I'm forgetting.
It's always so weird, like, you know, he's sort of like, he's Daenerys' bitch, basically. And it, the last scene of the first episode of season one, he's, like, bowing down to her, and now he's, like, treating her as, like, a true queen and everything, and it's like, okay, now the leaves are starting to turn, but now I'm just speculating. I'm that guy that's, like, starting to catch up and speculating, and...
Has he been given a pardon yet? Have you heard his backstory?
No,
because
I don't think so.
King Robert Baratheon... has he gone hunting yet?
No.
Robert hasn't gone hunting yet.
No.
Okay. Eventually, I mean, this is kind of a spoiler, but it doesn't...
I might be completely wrong.
It doesn't mean anything to you, but he's going to pardon Jorah. Jorah got in trouble back in Westeros. That's why he's hanging out in that side of the world.
Is the king dead? Because doesn't... I feel like a king dies in, like, episode 5 of the first season. Big fat guy, bald guy
that
with a beard.
Was... Yes, that was King Baratheon.
Okay,
king
so Robert that probably happened. Remember, too,
He went hunting and got a leg injury.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, too, said earlier I had to kind of force myself through episodes 2 through 8, so there's probably things that happened or pivotal to the series that I probably didn't pay attention to.
Okay, well, did the Khaleesi go to a town and was offered wine?
Yes.
That she did not
drink?
Oh,
man, that fucking scene, dude. I love that scene.
A kid runs up to Ser Jorah, and I don't know if he's a sir, but runs up to Jorah.
Might as well be.
And pardons him.
Okay.
He's given a pardon.
All right.
But at this point, you should know why. He spied on Daenerys and gave information back to Westeros.
Okay.
She was banished from Westeros.
Okay.
Because she is the true heir to the throne.
Yep.
Her family was killed off. Robert Baratheon became king. Well, Jorah was spying on her and was feeding information back. So all the while he's bowing down to her, he was feeding information to Westeros, which is treason.
Exactly.
Against his queen. So
I still like him.
He loves Daenerys. It's very clear that he loves this 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But, what are you going to do?
We should probably not focus on that, because I guarantee you at some point we're going to get so engrossed in discussion that a spoiler is going to drop. And
I think I'm good with spoilers.
No, you're not.
I'm not good with spoilers?
No.
Did I spoil anything for
you? Since I never read the Hunger Games book, you spoiled what happens in what is going to be either part one or part two of the third Hunger Games movie, so...
Oh, the best part? The reason why I love the whole series? That's gotta be the end. That's the very, very end.
Yeah.
And it makes it perfect.
Yeah.
Makes it absolutely perfect. Did you talk about Slender Man?
No, because you know why? Because
of Kate, I know.
Another fucking thing I can blame Kate for.
Why the fuck are these little 12-year-old girls from Wisconsin... killing kids over Slender Man? I haven't read that much about Slender Man, but I didn't know Slender Man was big on stabbing people to death.
No, it's... Have you played Slender?
No, but I've seen people play it. He just shows up and scares you.
He shows
That's
up.
That's the point.
He shows up, so you turn around and you run the fuck away and you don't turn back. Whatever direction you're going in, just keep going in that direction. Because basically he will be behind you. And then your screen gets all staticky.
You get scared.
Yeah, and then
that's the
point
of it.
Yeah, he does not inflict any sort of physical damage upon you.
You lose when he catches you, right?
Exactly.
That's what happens. I've seen a Skyrim mod that has Slenderman.
Of course.
It was weird. Didn't look like... I don't know if it looked like Slenderman, but it was fucking weird. It was scary.
There's a Skyrim mod for anything.
For anything. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But apparently these little girls in Wisconsin stabbed one of their friends. The girl's okay, right? The girl didn't die. Yeah. The girl's fine, I think.
So.
Yeah, she got hurt. I mean, they stabbed her pretty bad.
Ugh.
A bunch of 12-year-olds, stabbed their friend 19 times. So these girls have a sleepover talking about Slender Man. The next day they go to the park and two of them stab the other one all over the place. The girls told the police they were planning the attack for months. They wanted to become proxies of Slender Man, a monster they claimed could speak to them telepathically. Now, I read a couple articles about this because a lot of them were on, like, parents, what do you tell your kids about Slender Man? Oh, you can't let your kids have unrestricted access to the internet because then they're going to stab each other. No, the issue isn't the internet. The issue isn't Slender Man. It's not teaching your kid to be a fucking moron. And thinking that stabbing people is okay. It's okay if you want to be creeped out. It's okay if you want to read a scary story. If you want to read random shit on the internet, have at. But you should be teaching your children that an imagination is okay to a certain extent, because these kids fabricated a story about Slender Man and then stabbed their friend. That's what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah.
If these kids are convicted, they're each going to face 60 years in prison.
Jesus.
60 years. They'll be 72 when they get out. That's their entire lives in prison. And you know what?
Yeah.
We're paying for that because parents can't parent right. But they're going to blame the internet and they're going to blame video games.
Yeah, it's... I actually...
Over a parenting mistake.
I got a... The only time I ever got like an A-plus on a huge project in high school was on a paper I wrote about a case back in, like, I think it was 2002.
Yep.
Of someone that sued Take-Two Interactive, which is the parent company of Rockstar Games. That's the developer of the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah.
Because some kid went and killed another kid. Oh, and I think actually he was, like, throwing rocks or... No, he was actually shooting a gun. He was firing a weapon. He was like, next to a highway. He was firing a weapon at vehicles, actually managed to kill someone, and blamed Grand Theft Auto 3 for it, so Take-Two got sued for it. My whole paper was just about exactly what you just said. The irresponsibility of the parents for not monitoring their kids.
How the fuck did this child get a gun?
That,
even if they want access to a gun.
It's America.
How do they get a gun?
It's America. You know what I always think about? I was actually thinking about this today.
I don't understand.
I was thinking about this today. Now, I try to factor in a Simpsons quote into anything I can think
naturally,
of.
Naturally.
And there is a scene from the episode where Marge, and remember, I only focus on like the first 10 years of the Simpsons. There's a
the good years?
Exactly. There's a an episode where Marge becomes a cop. So she goes to a police academy.
Yep.
And of all the people that are there, there's one guy who is clearly insane who screams, enough about whatever. When am I gonna get my freaking gun? And Chief Wiggum, aka Kate's dad, says to him, "I already told you. You don't get your gun until you tell me your name." America. There
America.
You go. In one sentence.
Unfortunately,
that's how that kid got his gun.
Although, the thing is, you know, I've heard cases where, you know, people talk about England, for example, how, you know, people aren't allowed to have guns. They're a lot stricter on gun control. It's not going to stop people from killing each other. They're just going to stab each other.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But is this the guy that you were talking about?
Now, let's discuss the motive.
Yeah, that's Kate's dad.
That's Kate's dad. Okay. Yeah, I'm playing with these, what is it, sound clips?
Yeah, it's our soundboard, I guess.
That's the soundboard I'm playing with it.
It's not really a board, but it does everything a soundboard would do.
You know, I'm playing
with it. Fucking hot piss whatever I want, dude. It doesn't matter.
You're doing a better job than Tarara, dude. There was a time on Talk Radio Meltdown when I let Tarara have I would mic his laptop, and I would let him have a soundboard. No, that was giving a 3-year-old firecrackers.
Yeah,
In fact, I'm pretty sure I not only killed his computer one night, like on the board, I also killed his microphone.
And Did you really? You just shut off all access.
Well, I think some other things happened that there was a brief period of time for like the first year that Tarara was on the show where I actually hated him. And, yeah, what you can say, it's okay.
Okay, we have a minute and 30 seconds. We're at 58 minutes. Do I play the ending and then we talk some more?
Wow, you got that perfectly. The one thing I didn't tell you about.
I'm keeping track of time.
Wow.
Are you impressed? Holy Am I shit. Doing good?
I am blown away.
Awesome. All right, so
I don't know what to do. I've got my iPad and my phone in front of me, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, I got nothing to press.
I'm going to mute your ass now. I think it's time to do this.
Do it. Do it up.
Chatty Wampus.
The end.
So we've got 40 seconds.
You got the timing down on that perfectly. I think we have more time because remember, that's like the first like 2 minutes of this recording were just us
kind of playing around,
dicking around with it. So
I don't know. We kind of started up pretty good.
You did that. Okay. So again,
this is the first trial run. We play it around, and I said, like, this is what we're gonna do, and then we just went into it. This is completely organic.
Right. If you missed the beginning of the show, Nicole has usually I'm the one that's running the ship, as I've been doing for the last 5 years. But Nicole, for the first time, I've let someone else run the show. I let Nicole do it for Chatty Wampus tonight. I am fucking unbelievably impressed right now because she did everything. She's even telling me how much time we have left, which is something I don't even do.
You don't.
But you got everything down great. You remembered that. You got the timing right, the music beds.
Nice.
I thought we were going to do sort of like a 5-minute warm-up, and we didn't even do that.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Wow.
That's how
Good
I do.
Fucking job.
And it's just going to get better. I feel bad because this episode has all been pretty much like, are we good to do this? Can we do this? We've been talking about me doing this a lot.
I feel bad because I told you could pretty much run the ship, and I've been the one talking all night.
That's fine because I've been trying to do your job. So while you're talking, I'm trying to look at what we have planned up. So
it's a good
learning experience for me. But
this was awesome. This was you did a really good job.
So I will be doing this again in 2 weeks. Next show, it's going to be Jack again. We're going to alternate, or at least that's the plan for now.
That's the plan,
But we'll see how it goes.
We will see how it goes. You're right.
Because I don't mind running this for Chatty Lumpus. If you don't want to be doing two shows a week, I'm fine with it. I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's fine.
But we can talk about it off air, I guess.
That's one thing. Oh, he's got to remember what's good for off air. What's good for honor?
Yeah, so I'm trying to differentiate between the two. But Orange Room is up next.
Yes.
Fine broadcasting on More Like Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Talk Radio Meltdown. We get talkradiomeltdown.com. Check out the last episode of Talk Radio Meltdown. We had a special guest.
Yeah, Night Foxes.
Special guests.
Check them out. Facebook. I'm going to just completely wing this right now. Facebook.com/Night Foxes. I think that's what it is because we actually, or at least I did, I got tagged in a post from them. Let me just...
Oh, did you?
Well, just give me 2 seconds to make sure that I'm actually getting the Facebook URL right. Of course, the app wouldn't tell me this. Night Foxes on Facebook. Mac and Dave were here last night for the show. We didn't even really promote the band at all, which is hilarious.
They just kind of came and hung out.
The entire... of course, all the show prep I had for Talk Radio Meltdown... and it's okay if we've gone over our time limit. I don't really care.
Okay.
All the show prep I had were all these stories about... One of them was about Justin Bieber apparently dropping the M-bomb and something.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing was about some woman that went on this unbelievably racist rant in front of a dollar store. So it's if you want to promote a band, make sure you play those drops because that's like the one thing to get people's attention. And I was actually sitting there. I did not feel comfortable talking about it. But we did it anyway. But it was nice to have them on the show.
Nice guys.
Yeah, they were awesome. We didn't do any actual musical performances, but they were here and they were just shooting the shit with us, and they fucking loved it, which is great.
They seemed to have a good time. Yeah,
I would not mind having them back on in like a month or two.
That would be cool
if we did it again. I mean, they're really good. They're really good guys, and that was just half the band too. That was the whole band.
Really?
Yeah, okay. they got a left-handed drummer. That's
really?
One thing I'm always weirded out about. I was a drummer. Left-handed drummers set their drums up like it's almost like a mirror image.
Makes sense.
Everything like picture like a band with a drum kit and then imagine that entire kit like
backwards.
Exactly.
That's really cool though.
They have a left-handed drummer. So
no shit.
But yeah, they were here last night. They're awesome guys. Their music's really good. Even though we didn't get to any of it. So check them out on Facebook. Night Foxes is what they're called. So,
Like nighttime?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Not like armor and swords.
No, remember, you can turn this music bed up when we're done. Whenever you see fit that we're done, you can turn the bed up.
You were still talking.
I'm done. I'm all set.
Okay, you're done. I'm done. Orange Room up next. Chances are the feed's already going to them, but fuck it. I'm just trying to do it.
You're doing a good job.
Hope you didn't mind me on the board. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we will see you next time with the Jell-O pudding.
Yes, with the pudding.
With the pudding. All right. Bye.